Tweet at TodaySOR.
8 days to Christmas, and we're going to be talking in a few moments with a man who knows all about the final preparations. Oliver Dunn is here. Good morning to you, Oliver.
Good morning, Sean.
Of Bon Appetit and Cleaver East Restaurants. But I think probably one of the most interesting things about yourself is, of recent times, your campaign to improve the quality of hospital food. We spoke on the telephone.
That's right. Yeah.
It's nice to be sitting across the table from you now. But and you're due, I think, to meet Leo Varadkar.
This Friday.
This Friday coming,
this Friday,
right?
Yes.
So what's the plan to talk about that?
I suppose the plan for me, well, firstly to hear what the minister has to say on the topic as well, and to go in and what I'm hoping the minister will do will get me access to a hospital so I can actually go in, see what's going on behind the scenes, report back to the minister saying this is what I found, this is what I think we can do, all within the parameters that's currently in place and budgets that's currently in place. I do believe it's really easy. I've got a lot of sort of back info, and we've constantly been researching and looking into it over the last couple of weeks. The campaign hasn't died down, so I'm hoping the minister will get me access into one of the hospitals. That's going to be the hard thing, to get the access, and then from there I'll go in, have a look at it, see what I think, report back to the minister, and hopefully we can make a change.
Your basic point is that even just with the money that's already being allocated to feeding people in hospital, they could do a much better job.
Yes, absolutely. I do think that. Obviously I need the proof's in the pudding when I get in there, but from what I see, yes, and from the figures that I've been told about how much it costs to create a dish and create a meal, I definitely think it can be done for much, much cheaper.
And what about the contacts you've had separately? I think you might have had informal contact from some individual hospitals.
That's right,
true?
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
We've had contact from lots and lots of people throughout Ireland. It was hospitals, nursing homes, prisons, you name it, loads of people. And they're all saying about the standard of hospital food itself, you know, is very, very poor. And everyone wants change. Everyone wants it to change. There's been no negative comments at all to date.
Do you think, though, that there would be much retraining required for people working in hospital kitchens?
That I don't know. You know, I think every hospital is going to have different level. The staff currently in the catering departments are going to have different skills.
Right.
Some are in-house trained. Some are professional catering companies in place. So I'd say that'll change from site to site. But the plan is to go in and not try to, you know, do stuff which is too difficult and too complicated. It has to be something that can be done across the board. Really, really simple. Home-cooked meals, that's basically all, you know, hospital food needs
can,
to be.
But can you have home cooking in a hospital without bringing it in for your own individual patient?
Yeah, I think, like, when I say home cooking, I just mean, you know, basic mashed potato and vegetables cooked properly, and then the odd time, you know, something a little bit more complicated in terms of complicated ingredients as opposed to preparation. So I think it's just buying clever, writing clever menus, appetizing, nutritious, sort of tasty menus that people want to eat that appeals to people. I think hospitals are simply sort of stuck in a time warp. They still serve vol-au-vents and stuff like that, you know. So I just think the whole thing needs to be looked at.
You don't like vol-au-vents? Sorry, you don't approve of vol-au-vents, do you not?
Well, it's not that I don't approve of them. I just think they're gone out with the Indians, and I just think it's sort of you know, it's sort of
not wishing to show any disrespect to the Indians. Yeah. What's wrong with the vol-au-vent? Sorry, it's a while since I had one. Now that you mention it, you know.
Well, one, the nutritional content of them would be pretty much nil. Like, it's puff pastry, butter based in a thick, creamy.
Yeah, but
if you put in
chicken, with
yeah,
maybe
you know
some mushrooms.
Have you ever had a vol-au-vent? You know, it's the classic is chicken and mushroom vol-au-vent, and you'll be fishing out a bit of chicken for about 4 hours. So no, it's not a case of, and I don't know against vol-au-vent. It was just for me, it was just like, wow, this is how this place hasn't evolved at all over
okay,
the last 20 years.
Okay, so no puff pastry anyway, and no chicken that
you
have
know,
to fish
you
out
might,
of a load of sauce. So what then would you like to put in its place then?
It's not about complicated food. It's just about simple, well-prepared food. Even the food that they currently have, and some of the dishes that has been served that I witnessed have been perfectly fine if they were executed better. You know,
right.
So there's nothing
wrong
with
it. It's just about, like, you can have big volumes of food and you can still cook it properly.
Course,
that's your
yes,
basic
absolutely.
Contention.
You know, and hospitals, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Beaumont has about 500 beds, and, you know, there's hotels do 500 people on a daily basis. I served 500 people, you know, myself last days over the Christmas time, not with an awful lot of staff, I can tell you that, and a restaurant standard. It's not hard. You just need to be clever with your menu.
Okay, that's the hospital hope and plan. Oliver, stay with us. We'll be talking Christmas preparations after these.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1. Email todaysor@rte.ie.
We all partied, says James. That is not about Christmas. I think it's about the what led to the bank inquiry, which of course is investigating the collapse of Irish banks. Keep those texts coming and emails as well. 51551 for the texts. todaysor@rte.ie. And we'll have another extract from Mr. Nyberg's evidence, our opening statement, just coming up to 11. But to continue where we left off with Oliver Dunn of Bon Appetit and Cleaver East Restaurants. Oliver, I suppose if we're looking ahead to Christmas, and how to prepare, let's just start with the Brussels sprouts, the Marmite of vegetables. My colleagues tell me how to cook them.
That's what everyone says. The simple thing with Brussels sprouts, what I believe, people treat Brussels sprouts with very little care. They just sort of get it. And the best analogy I can use is if you think of a Brussels sprout as like a little baby cabbage. Okay, and when you prepare cabbage, people at home preparing cabbage for years and years and years, my grandmother, you buy the cabbage, you peel away all the dark green bitter leaves on the outside because they're really harsh and not very nice tasting. You'd prep it all down, you cut it. It's pretty much the same with a Brussels sprout. On the outside of a Brussels sprout, you've got these really dark, bitter leaves, the harsh sort of flavour that isn't nice. You have to peel them away. So it takes a bit of time. Obviously, they're very small, so it's a bit labour intensive. Once you peel away them dark leaves, you're left with these sort of really bright, vibrant, greeny, sort of yellowy leaves, really young shoots, which are really sweet and beautiful. So what you should do is just spend a bit of time, give it to the kids if they're bold, let them peel off the outside leaves, and then boil the Brussels sprouts in salted water.
Having done all that, it still costs me a euro per sprout to get them to eat, and I never have to spend more than a tenner for a fairly large bunch of them. So what can we add to
once
to
you boil
them up?
Once you boil them all, so you'd cook them through pretty much 90-95%, okay? Then you'd strain them all off, and then you'd sauté them off in a bit of butter. If you want to half them, if you're going to be a little bit more elaborate, half them all, and then so you get, you can fry them, so to get a little bit of colour to the inside, fry them all off in some foaming butter. When they're nice and starting to go a little bit brown, then add in some chopped chorizo. So, you know, people put in bacon and some sort of ham usually, but I find chorizo sausage is lovely. You get that lovely smoked paprika flavour. So
yeah, and how long do you need to cook them? When you say get them cooked, what is it, 90% you say?
When you're boiling them, yes. You just check them like you check a potato. You just get a small sharp knife and you'd stab them the same way you would your boiled spuds. Check if they're cooked and then just sauté them off in, as I said, butter. Add in some chopped chorizo. The oil, the fat will start to go a little bit pink and the chorizo flavour will start to bleed out. And then I just finish it with freshly chopped parsley, strain it, serve. And
now,
it's really, really nice.
I gather, Oliver, that you believe the key to preparing roast potatoes is to do most of the work on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I think for the key to Christmas dinner, full stop, is to do most of the work Christmas Eve or the day before. Even Christmas Eve can be quite a hectic day for people. It's all about, you know, when you've time to prepare things in advance, you'll cook much better. That's how restaurants operate. We come in 8 in the morning, we serve dinner at 6 o'clock. So, because that's why we spend all our time during the day when you have time, if you make a mistake, you can fix it. So Christmas Eve, if you buy a good quality potato with dry matter. So to explain with that, Maris Pipers, Golden Wonders, they're the two you will find in Irish supermarkets. So buy them, because of the dry matter content means they're going to crisp up better than a rooster or a pink or one of the Irish flowery sort of soft potatoes. So a good quality potato like that, again, parboil them, so you would boil them 90% of the way. Then when you strain them off, you put them in a colander, you'd ruffle the edge around, so just shake them around so you sort of break up the outside of the potato a little bit. And if you want to go to whole hog, and being Christmas, most people do, put them out onto a tray and then allow them to cool down and then throw them in the fridge overnight. So you don't cover them, just leave them in the fridge overnight. And what will happen is the fridge air will sort of dry out the potato and it'll come out of the fridge the next morning and the outside of the potato will be a little bit crusty to an extent. And when you're thinking of, you want a roast potato with a crusty outside, if you start off with a crusty product, you're going to get there quicker.
Yes, but do you not have to pour a load of butter or fat or something over them?
Absolutely,
at the roasting stage?
So at the roasting stage then you'd want, and usually people do like goose fat or duck fat or just simple oil, whatever you're doing for Christmas time, you'd want to put a good glug of oil in the bottom of your baking tray. So you need to have the base of the potatoes.
And turn them around in it, presumably.
Yes, submerged in oil. Exactly.
There's oil on the surface, yeah.
Oil on the surface, you just toss them around and it'll take, once they're par cooked like that, it'll take about an hour to roast them through then on a nice low temperature, and you turn them about every 15 minutes. And then for the last 10 minutes, what I do is I chop up some garlic. So just whole cloves of garlic, just chop them in half, and then some rosemary or else some thyme, and I would just add that in with a little knob of butter.
It's a kind of a seasoning.
Yeah, just only the last couple of minutes. They don't have to burn the garlic or herbs, but it just gives it a lovely little extra sort of dimension to them. But they'll come out really, really crispy. And if you have the right potato, they should remain crispy.
Now, would you just stick with the roasties, or would you have mash as well?
Oh yeah, we'd have mash as well. And again, the key to Christmas Day mash for me is bake your potatoes. Again, if you're going the extra mile with it, bake your potatoes. So get all your potatoes, bake them. Don't cover them in tin foil or anything like that. Just bake them in a hot oven. When they're cooked, again, check them with a knife. You just pop the skin, pop the inside of the potato out, allow all the steam to bellow up into the air, because that's all the moisture. And the more moisture you get rid of out of the potato, the more milk and butter and healthy cream
so
you can
for
add.
Mashed potatoes, you don't boil, you bake.
Bake, yeah. So, because the drier the product, as I said, you need more milk and butter and the flavoured ingredients we can add in. So, if you boil them, they can absorb an awful lot of water and you can't get much in. It goes too soupy.
And do you bake the previous day as well?
You can do, yes. Like, you can make the mashed potato 2-3 days before Christmas, and then on the day you're just warming it up. You could just microwave it and then add another drop of milk and just whisk it back up again. You would not taste the difference. You wouldn't know the difference at all. So I think people at home generally leave everything to the last second. They've got one four-ring burner and they're cooking five veg, meat, ham, turkey, stuffing, different sauces, and Christmas Day becomes an impossible task nearly, you know.
What about other vegetables, Oliver?
There's loads. Root vegetables is a popular one this time of year. So carrots and parsnips, roasted carrots and parsnips. And for them, all I would recommend is you would chop them up even size, like in battens. So basically get a carrot or a parsnip, chop it down the centre, and then cross section it, half it and half it again. So you have battens of carrots.
Now, one of the things I suspect that, you know, it's a bit like a big planning operation. If you've only one oven,
that's why you need to
prepare how do
in
you
advance.
How do you sequence things?
Yeah, that's exactly the reason why you would do these things in advance if you've only one oven. So, example, if we're talking, the mashed potato could be done. There's no reason why it couldn't be done the day before. Your carrots and parsnips can be roasted the day before. They can be completely and utterly finished. And just to do that, all you have to do, as I said, when you've battened them, is just sprinkle a bit of honey over them, a little bit of butter, and bake them in the oven. And they come out lovely. They're done. So the next day, all you have to do, you can microwave them or you can just warm them back up. The warming process will take 2 or 3 minutes. But if you're trying to cook everything on the day, you've no chance, really, you know. So right, you need a catering kitchen nearly to be able to do it all properly, you know. And that's what happens. The stress level is huge because you're trying to keep your turkey hot, you know, and that'll take a couple of hours to cook. You might be glazing a ham. You've got your roast potatoes. You could be doing roast veg. You could be cooking stuffing. You've no space in the oven. You've only got four rings. You're doing mashed potato. It's impossible, you know. So that's why you have to just prepare in advance. And the home cook generally thinks they're cheating by doing that. But in the professional capacity, we do that all the time. That's how you cook at a high standard.
It's probably a time of year when, I don't know whether vegetarians feel deprived or whether they feel maybe morally superior to the rest of us.
Yeah.
But Christmas dinner for vegetarians, any
thoughts
there?
Yeah, it's a tough one. A couple of things they could do, and again, thinking of the time of year that it is, pumpkins and squash and all that are very much so in season. So a very simple recipe is like a butternut squash sort of risotto. So you just get the squash, peel it, chop it up some parts into like little dice bits, which you can just saute off in some butter and again a bit of garlic and thyme, which can go through the risotto. Make a risotto with a little bit of onion and a bit of garlic, and then fry off your rice, add in some stock, and then add in the chopped pumpkin through it. Finish it with a bit of parmesan, mascarpone cheese, rocket salad, and they're just flavours that go really, really well together.
And there's an onion tartlet, I think, which is a favourite of yours.
Yeah, love it. It's so simple. It's gone back to the puff pastry, so we
oh,
can
the puff
scrap
pastry
the bottom on.
Is reprieved, I see. Yeah, see, go on. As long as you're not having
I've
it in hospital.
I've modernised it. So it's a bit of puff pastry, and what you would do is get some onions. So some Spanish onions, chop them up really fine, and then again, saute them off a little bit of butter and let them cook at a really low heat for about an hour. Strain all the excess fat off and then spread them out onto some puff pastry, leaving a little border. Sprinkle a bit of chopped thyme over them and bake that. And that onion tart then is perfect. And then top it with some wild mushrooms, some rocket, some goat's cheese, some sunblush tomatoes, and you have a lovely, tasty vegetarian tartlet.
Oliver, thank you very much indeed for
Thanks,
joining
Sean.
Us. We'll have news after these.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.